Famous 1984 so-called Sandberg game was also the NBC Game of the Week with Bob Costas and Tony Kubek. Bob Costas joins us now to talk about Rhino. And Bob, good morning. Thank you for making time for us today. Has that game also become the Costas game in your long career?
Well, you know, there are other connections to Chicago. In the last dance season of 1998, I was calling most of those Bulls games, including the finals against Utah. So Michael Jordan's last basket as a Bull that turned a one-point deficit into a one-point win and the championship, that's got to be up there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to be attached to a lot of things, but if you're talking about a single baseball game, even including World Series and playoff games that I called, you're right. The Sandberg game is the one I'm most connected to. And as I've said forever, I was a bit player. I was lucky enough to just be there by happenstance. And Rhine turned in the signature game of the Hall of Fame career. It also marked him as at least a candidate, if not the front runner, for MVP that season. And the long woebegone Cubs suddenly emerged as a contender, and as you know, came within one heartbreaking loss of going all the way to the World Series that year. So it had all those elements, plus it was the game of the week, and I apologize if people have heard me talk about this before, but when I'm asked about the Sandberg, it's an important element. Back then, the game of the week meant something different. The media landscape had not exploded. The internet didn't exist. If you lived in a non-baseball town, which wouldn't be Chicago, Chicago was atypical. Every game was on WGN, but with the exception of New York and a few other markets, only a handful of games were on television, even if you lived in a big league city. And if you lived in a non-big league city, the game of the week, if you were a baseball fan, you didn't mow the lawn during those 2.5, 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon, because that was your chance in that era to see Fernando Valenzuela face Johnny Bench or whatever. So on that particular Saturday, this game is going to the entire country. It's a beautiful...
Oops, did his phone drop out there? We'll get him back. But Bob brings up a good point. In 1984, the baseball TV landscape was much different. Had the game only been on local TV, would it have become so iconic? Probably not, right?
Probably not. I mean, the whole country wouldn't have seen it. And he's right. I mean, there was something special about being on the game of the week. And Monday Night Baseball, for that matter, too. I mean, there wasn't anything such as, you know, ESPN was in its infancy back then. They didn't really have a big major league contract. And there weren't a lot of outlets to get those games. So if you were on the game of the week, everybody was getting eyes on you.
The game, of course, was on WGN Radio.
Correct, it was.
And in fact, Harry Carey just yelled when Rhino hit the second homer. Harry just yelled, "He did it again!
He did it again!"
he did it again. But we have Bob back now. Bob, talk a little bit about your relationship with Rhine Sandberg. What was it like after that game? Did you stay in touch? Did you get to know him as a person?
Yes. Yes, we did. That one game, it's one of those strange but wonderful sort of serendipitous things. That one game connected us for the ensuing four decades. Whenever I'd see him, that had to be the topic, at least for a while before we got on to other things. I stayed in touch with him, not constantly, but occasionally. And when my last couple of texts this past year, just checking on him to see how he was doing, went unanswered, then my concern increased and it became obvious when I spoke with other people closer to him on a day-to-day basis that it was only a matter of time. That one game, as I said, the whole atmosphere surrounding it, Cardinals-Cubs. If it was Phillies-Cubs, it would have been less, but Cardinals-Cubs, the classic rivalry and Wrigley Field and all those elements, the game of the week, that game and other games of the week got higher ratings than many postseason games get now. That game typified, to a great extent, what baseball was like, not just in Chicago, but nationally in that era.
Hey, Bob, it's Andy Mazur. Great to talk to you.
Hi.
I'm just curious, your impressions, too, of Rhino, the player, because I don't know if he gets enough credit for kind of redefining the position of second base, because back in those days, first base, third base were your power guys, and all of a sudden they've got the second baseman hitting home runs.
Yeah, you know, a contemporary of his is Cal Ripken. the bigger middle infielder. Classically, prior to that, there were exceptions, but classically, the middle infielder was your scrappy, you know, sort of slap hitting, maybe steal some bases, little guy. And Ripken and Sandberg and others of that era turned that inside out. Ryan was never, he had that one season where he hit 40 home runs, but apart from that, he was like a 20 home run guy. But in 84, when he won the MVP, he hit 19 home runs, not a huge total, two of them in that one game at Wrigley Field, but he also had 19 triples to lead the National League in that category. And he stole bases. And while he wasn't necessarily a spectacular second baseman, he was so steady and so sure. He had long, errorless streaks. Almost everything hit to him. He gobbled up. He won 9 consecutive gold gloves. He was a complete player. He never had any individual season that was as great as what Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge are doing now. But when you put together a decade and a half of consistent excellence, that's the road to Cooperstown.
He had such a workmanlike attitude, and he was pretty quiet. His teammates will tell you in the clubhouse he was a little more fun. But were you surprised at how fiery, I think it was kind of fiery for him, especially his Hall of Fame speech was, Bob?
Yeah, you know, he had time to think about it, like his thoughts. That Hall of Fame speech, for just about everybody, is kind of, you, if you're not going to say it, then when will you say it?
Yeah.
You know, get whatever it is you have to say out there in appreciation, or if there's anything you want to set straight on the record that may have been misconstrued, that's the place to do it. But you're right that generally speaking, Rhino was soft-spoken, unassuming. He had that kind of all-American boy quality to him. There were no histrionics. He was not demonstrative. And the one word that he said in that Hall of Fame speech, he said it all comes down to one word, respect. He respected the game, and he played it that way. And as you may recall, on June 23rd of 2024, when they unveiled the statue at Wrigley Field on the 40th anniversary of the Sandberg game, Craig Counsell led the entire team in uniform out onto the balcony overlooking Gallagher. And I was speaking in introducing Ryan, and someone in the audience pointed, said, look behind you. And I turned and looked behind me, and there they were, all arrayed out there. That was the personification of what the game meant to him, respect.
Yeah, that was such a great moment. It gives me goosebumps to think about it.
Yeah.
Sandberg definitely enjoyed that game, and he showed the video of that game to his grandchildren. Have you ever watched it?
Yeah. Not necessarily intentionally, but the Major League Baseball Network, especially during COVID when they didn't have anything else to show, they've shown that game. And there have been at least 2, I think maybe 3, documentaries devoted to it. Hmm. And naturally, since I was lucky enough to be there, they interview me for those documentaries. So I've seen clips of the big moments, and once or twice I've seen the entire game.
One more thing, Bob. I tell my kids about seeing Banks, Sano, Williams, Fergie Jenkins, and that crew playing. Today's generation who saw Rhino play will do the same with their kids and grandkids. Baseball seems to deal more in nostalgia than any other sport, I think. Why is that?
Yes. Well, it has the longest and deepest history of any of the team sports in North America. There's more great writing and more movies and documentaries made about baseball than other sports. It's just the nature of it. It is dependent on history and is dependent, well, you can't be stuck in the past, it is dependent on an appreciation and a connection to the past. And a game like June 23rd, 1984, was all of that writ large.
Yeah, we're going to play, by the way, his Rhino's Hall of Fame speech here in a little bit. Bob Costas, really appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Thank you very much. And there he goes.
There he goes.
You know, can you still hear me? I'm in the Lincoln Tunnel.
That explains it.
that's why it cut out. I'm on my way to the Major League Baseball Network, which is located in Secaucus, New Jersey, to talk about Ryan Sandberg in the next hour. So I'm in the tunnel, so what can I do?
We'll watch you when you get out of the tunnel. And again, our thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Bob.